We now bring to these microphones David James for our weekly conversation, a focus on an issue that the body of Christ, you and I, my good friend, listening to this broadcast, need to have a prophetic perspective of, and look at what God's Word says about that issue. We're going to do that with David James as we converse here. David, you just arrived back home from a week of teaching there at Word of Life Canada, and you'll be home for a couple of weeks before your next trip. But before we talk about your next trip, was it cold up there in Owen Sound?
It was cold up there in Owen Sound, and we got about 4 inches of snow the last day I was there, so it wasn't the most fun experience from that perspective, but it's always a great joy to teach those students and be with the staff and students there at Owen Sound, a great ministry, and I had the opportunity to teach God's Plan Through the Ages for the third time this year, and I've still got 3 more times before the end of May.
And where do you go next?
Well, I'll be home for 2 weeks, and then Karen and I, my wife and I, will be heading to Hungary. She'll be with me for the first week because we just had a new grandson born in December that she hasn't seen yet because our son is now the Dean of Men at the Bible Institute that I started. And then I'll continue for another week there, and then I'll go on to Word of Life Ukraine to teach God's Plan Through the Ages again.
And then back at the end of May, when we'll get together in Chattanooga for our School of Prophets Prophecy Conference, where you'll be teaching Understanding of Islam. Boy, that'll be a great time. By the way, go to our website, prophecytoday.com. On the homepage, you'll find information about that School of Prophets upcoming at the end of May. Well, David, this week there was an article on Christianity Today website that ask the question, what is evangelicalism? Which makes our discussion sort of a follow-up on what we talked about last week.
Well, that's right, and it's actually a very in-depth article, and to be quite honest with you, I think the average person would find that their eyes glazed over because, in my view, they got very deep into the weeds, but it was helpful for someone who wants to understand some of the history of evangelicalism, actually tracing it back to the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, and of course, it took time for that to develop. I think many evangelicals think that because Martin Luther rediscovered that salvation is by grace through faith alone and Christ alone, that he was very evangelical in his mindset. But actually, he was far more Catholic. It's just that he rediscovered some of the truths concerning salvation by faith. But very deep into the article, there is a helpful paragraph that I think would be helpful for everyone, and they point out that evangelicals have historically had 4 primary concerns, and that is that what it means to have a personal, meaningful relationship with Christ through salvation, that the Bible has been central to their lives as a matter of supreme authority of belief and practice, then exalting the cross of Christ and focusing on what Christ specifically did on the cross, who suffered and died for us. And then all of this led to a great amount of focus on missions and evangelism to reach the world with that message of salvation on the basis of Christ's death.
Well, David, although the article does go deep into the weeds, as you said, I like that phrase, in trying to define evangelicalism, the term evangelical was originally based upon a very simple concept, was it not?
Well, that's true. It's based upon a transliteration of the Greek word, which simply means good news. So in my understanding, I would say that evangelical is very much related to the gospel itself. And it would be the idea of this: the salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, based upon the authority of the word of God alone, to the glory of God alone. And so the idea of salvation by grace through faith is the heart of what it means to be an evangelical. And beyond that, I would say this. It would be the exclusive message of the good news of salvation through faith in Christ. And I would say that this is in contrast to liberal Protestant theology that developed, and it's actually a reaction to liberal Protestant theology, which tends to deny both the centrality of Scripture and the authority of Scripture, but more importantly, it tends to deny the salvation is only found for those who hear, understand, and believe the gospel, and they would be much more inclusive of other messages and other religions, and also they would, as part of that, they would incorporate good works into what it is necessary to be saved, and so someone in another religion, if they did enough good works, then they could be considered worthy of heaven, and that would be absolutely contradictory to what it means to be an evangelical.
David, as I recall our conversation last week, we briefly mentioned what led you and I to start the School of Prophets and you the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. But a major catalyst for you was a survey that came out in 2008, which showed that many who identify as evangelicals really aren't in terms of their theology. Explain this.
Well, that's true. I was on furlough in the summer of 2008, and the Pew Research Group released a survey of over 30,000 churchgoers in the United States. And over 9,000 of those in that survey self-identified as evangelicals. And as I said, an evangelical would be someone who believes that you must be born again in order to have forgiveness of sin and eternal life, salvation in Christ. However, what the survey showed was one of the questions had to do with the view of the people toward those in other religions and whether there was a possibility of being saved apart from explicitly hearing, understanding, and believing the gospel. And of these, and you would expect that broadly that many people would not think that that would absolutely be necessary, but you would think that those who identify as evangelicals would say, yes, you must hear, understand, and believe the gospel to be saved. But the surprising thing in the survey was that approximately 60%, a full 60% of those who identified as evangelicals said that they believed that there was a possibility of salvation apart from explicitly placing your faith and trust in Christ. And when I saw that survey, if you remember, I sent you basically a two-line email that said, Jimmy, this is what I'm finding. Is there a need for us to come together and begin to develop an organization or a means of holding the line on historical conservative evangelicalism to address this issue, because it was affecting the churches in the United States and world missions? And you immediately got back with me, and that was the catalyst that set this whole thing in motion.
Yes, the spark that started the fire. Well, you know, at that same time, I remember just before that survey came out, the director of Word of Life at that time was a man named George Tice, good friend of you and me. He contacted me about a pastor that he knew who had recently preached a message titled, Why I Am No Longer an Evangelical. Boy, that twicked my interest as well. This pastor soon became one of the co-founders of ABI.
Well, that's right. So between my email to you and then your response concerning hearing about this message, it turns out this pastor's name is Paul Bereka, and at the time he was the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Vineland, New Jersey. And so after my email, you contacted him, and this, set the whole thing in motion, and we had a series of meetings in Asheville, North Carolina, and we were discussing and probing and talking to each other. And what he meant when he said this was not that he had departed from evangelicalism, but rather that evangelicalism had departed from him, in the sense that it had become so broad that it really did not retain its historical meanings. People of every stripe were identifying as evangelicals, and so many of the people who were calling themselves evangelicals, he could no longer identify with. He did not accept evangelicalism and the definition that it had become because of broadening theology, a lack of commitment to the Bible as being authoritative and errant, inspired. The lack of commitment to the gospel as the only means of salvation. And so it seemed that we had found someone who was seeing the same things that you and I were seeing. And again, within a few months, we had made the decision to go ahead and start this ministry, the Alliance for Biblical Integrity.
So therefore, David, for yourself, do you still identify as an evangelical, or do you use another term? And what does that term mean to you?
Well, here's the way I put it. I qualify it. So I think evangelical is helpful as long as people understand what you mean. And so what I say is that I am an historically conservative evangelical. And what I mean by that is that my theology has not changed. It goes back to things that were even identified 100 years ago in a series of documents, a series of pamphlets and booklets that were entitled The Fundamentals. Now, I don't use fundamentalist because now that term has been hijacked by those who would fly planes into buildings and blow themselves up, and it tends to now have some negative connotations as far as legalism and all that. But my theology is definitely fundamentalist. And what I mean by historical evangelical, what I mean is I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It must be understood literally. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation, and that everyone must hear, understand, and believe the gospel to be saved. I believe that the Bible is the only authority for life and practice of believers. I think we have a responsibility to disciple people in the understanding of the Word of God, and that we have a responsibility to reach the world with the message of the Word of God, and we should disciple people. And also, I believe that it's important to understand properly what the Bible holds in store for the future with a pre-tribulational, pre-millennial return of Jesus Christ.
So then, therefore, it seems that there's a difference between theology evolving versus theology deepening. Over this time, and once again, these things can happen, but it comes down to actually, as we always do, bottom line, how do we interpret the Bible?
Well, that's right. Our theology should not be evolving into something that does not resemble what has been held in the past based upon the Word of God. Of course, we come to a greater and deeper understanding of the Bible over time and God and His Word and what it means to be a believer in Christ. It's a matter of deepening, and we stand on the shoulders of giants. But we still have to come down to an historical, a literal, grammatical, historical understanding of the Word of God, and that we hold fast, and that's where we put down our stake. This is what we believe. This is where we stand, and we will not move because the Word of God does not change. God Himself does not change, and His Word does not change.
Amen and amen. Great discussion with David James. We do this on a weekly basis. You can go to my website, prophecytoday.com, re-listen to it, or go to David's website, the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. Give us that website address quickly, David.
Yes, biblicalintegrity.org, one word, biblicalintegrity.org.
Go there and you'll find all kinds of information. Hey, David, glad you're back from Canada, safe and getting ready to go again. Great discussion today. Looking forward to another one next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Great to be with you.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to put everything together on this broadcast today, and we'll take a look at the book and see how they fit. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.